Morning, everyone. Bit of sunshine's nice, isn't it, this morning? Got warm again. It's lovely. Lovely to see you all here this morning. Just got a few notices I need to go through with you this morning. Been asked to mention, to remind you of the Women's Men's Fellowship, which is this Wednesday at 2:30 in the afternoon. Please come and enjoy a time of fellowship then. Also, can I just remind you that the warm welcome space food cupboard is getting a little bit low. So if you want to bring and start bringing your donations in, we could do with topping that back up, please. They are very gratefully received, those donations. Thank you. Also, you would probably have had, you should have had an email, members, that is, about the current situation that we're in and regarding a treasurer for the church. Now, because we don't have a nomination for a treasurer, we were going to have our church meeting and it was going to be the AGM. Our next church meeting is no longer going to be the AGM. We're still going to have a members' meeting, but it's not going to be the AGM. So that's May the 21st. Still be a church meeting, will not be an AGM. What the leadership team and we've decided we needed to do was to have an additional church meeting, which will be the AGM, on Thursday the 19th of June. Okay, that's a Thursday. So I know we normally have church meetings on a Wednesday, but this is going to be on a Thursday. It's on the notice sheet if you want to grab one. The reason for doing that has been explained in the email that we've sent, that Annalisa has sent out to you. Because we've become a charitable, a CIO, a charity, we can't not have a treasurer. They would have the right to actually shut us down if we were a charity without a treasurer. So what we're going to do is we're going to delay it a month to the 19th of June. We are seeking nominations for a treasurer. Please, please, please pray about this. If you can't, if it's not on your heart for you to do, if it's not something you can do, please pray about it. And with that in mind, we're going to have a particular prayer evening this week on Thursday between 7 and 8 o'clock here in the church. That's this Thursday. We're going to get together for prayer because we need the power of prayer. We need a treasurer. Now, we know that the role of treasurer, as Andrew has been doing it, I mean, he's been doing a magnificent job for a lot of years. That is a massive task for someone to take on. So what we've decided we're going to do is we're going to explore getting a bookkeeper or an accountant to do the majority of the work that Andrew would have done. But we still have to have someone as a named treasurer. So please pray about it. Discern whether or not you feel like the Lord might be asking you to take on that role. And please do come along on Thursday night. And let's put the power of prayer behind this particular, I won't call it, it's just a wrinkle. We know that God's got everything in hand, don't we? We know the Lord knows the beginning and the end. I don't believe the Lord's been preparing and growing the church then to simply, for there not to be anyone that can do that job. So as we stand, we will continue to receive nominations and deacons as well. We need more deacons. So we will continue to receive nominations until the 1st of June. That's Sunday the 1st of June. But they will need to, don't forget that nominations need to be in writing to church secretary by then, okay? What, that's the constitution? Yes, yeah, yeah. I mean, look, Annalisa has said if anybody does, because we sent out copies of the church constitution on email. Look, if you do need a paper copy of it, speak to Annalisa. We will print it out here. We have, you know, we have a laser copier here. And it... Well, we sent it out electronically because we hoped you wouldn't need to print it out, because it is a long document. But we have to follow the church constitution. We don't have a choice. It's what we must do. It's what we believe is right for us to do. So I'm sorry, that was a lot to give you all this morning. But more than anything else, guys, please, please, please pray about it. Join us on Thursday night. Let's get the power of prayer behind this particular problem. And God will resolve it for us. All right, bless you. I'm going to hand over to Simon, who's going to lead us in worship this morning. Thank you.
Good morning. Morning on Zoom as well. Hopefully there's a few people on Zoom. Have we got many? Yes. 7 people on Zoom. So there's 7 people watching me, watching you. Okay. So, the psalmist writes in Psalm 80. Hear us, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who sit enthroned between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Awake in your might, come and save us. Restore us, O God, make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. Our first hymn this morning, let's pray before we sing, actually. Father God, we draw near to you this morning. We leave our baggage, our problems, the troubles of the week at the door and come to worship you. We come expectantly, knowing that when we gather together, you have promised to be with us. And so, Lord, we come, not because we must, but because we want to meet with you afresh, to join with our brothers and sisters in worship of you. Amen. Okay, our first hymn. Restore, O Lord.
Thank you.
seated. So, this morning, we're looking at restoration, when you hit rock bottom. So this was, at the start, a kids talk, but that could be quite limited at the moment. Okay, so what do these three things have in common? And I was going to say nobody under the age of 15, but anyone can answer. So, Goldilocks and the three bears. A triceratops. Three little pigs. And a triangle. What do you think, Noah? No? No. John knows. There's a surprise. Does anyone other than John know? Pauline knows. Yeah, a few people know. So what's the answer? Three. That's right. They all have the number three in common. And three is an important number in the Bible. A little later, we're going to be looking at the road to restoration. That's when Jesus appeared to Peter three times. And he asked him if he loved him. A few days earlier, Peter denied even knowing Jesus. How many times? Three. Okay, can anyone tell me what the word restoration means? Restore? Yeah. It's a bit like the restart button on your computer. Or maybe the delete key. Or the escape key. Or if you're a little older, maybe control, alt, delete. Or hold the power button down for 5 seconds. That's the final one. But they all get you out of trouble. And they give you a fresh, clean start. And that's what Jesus did when he died for us on the cross. And 3 days later, he rose again. He hit the reset button. On your seat this morning was a piece of paper. You'll be disappointed to know it's got nothing on it. The idea is that either now or at the end of the service, you write something on this piece of paper that you're sorry for. Now, I was going to take these pieces of paper, nail them to a cross, and set fire to them. But apparently that's not a good idea in a church. Who knew? So instead, I have this. Oh. So, here's one I made earlier. And all you need to do is take that piece of paper that you've written on, fold it in half once, otherwise you might jam it. Oh, you can see up the back there, sorry. You can, good. And take the thing you're sorry for and put it in the hole. And it's gone. It's cut into 1,000 pieces. The great thing about this is that Jesus said, this is what happens to your sin, the thing you did wrong. It will be deleted, it will be shredded, and you will get a restart. If you've accepted Christ as your Saviour, he wants to give you a clean start. How cool is that? So, if you don't know Jesus, and you don't know that he's forgiven you, there's a really easy prayer you can say. You don't need to be special or really clever. You don't even need to think about anything else. You just need to mean what you say. So, I'm going to pray that simple prayer, or a simple prayer. Accompanied by music. But if you agree with that prayer, you just need to say Amen at the end. That's church speak for I agree. So let's pray. Lord, we open our hearts to you and would ask that you would draw near to us. We are sorry for the things that we have done wrong or that have hurt other people. Forgive us, Jesus. Bring us back into a relationship with you. Your resurrection saved us, and we want to follow you, to know you and live for you. Amen. Okay, so, nobody wants to do it now. That's fine. Do it at the end. Bring your bit of paper. Pop it in the shredder. Gone forever. Deleted. Okay. Our next song then. And Can It Be? Please stand if you're able.
Thank you.
Please be seated. The eagle-eyed amongst you may have noticed we have no music group. Holidays, sickness, maybe a few are here but not on their own. So, Brian, thank you very much. Brian has stepped in. So he's having a little bit of fun on the organ this morning, as you've probably heard. Thank you, Brian. So, we'll pray for the children before they go off into their Sunday social. Lord, we give you thanks for so many young lives, so many people that are linked to and joined to this church, and for the young people. Lord, we pray that you will give them a great time now in Sunday social. I pray that they will have fun and that they will learn of you, their Saviour. Amen. Our reading this morning comes from John chapter 21, verses 1 to 19. And Lynn is going to read it for us.
Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment round him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 meters. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it, and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me."
Thank you. So while we've got Brian, we'll have one more song before you have your sermon. "At your feet we fall." If you like, I hope they know it as well, because I'm not singing it for you. Okay, so who was Peter. Jesus' first words to Simon Peter were, "Come, follow me." Mark 1:17. His last words to Peter were, "You must follow me." John 21:22. Every step of the way between those two challenges, Peter never failed to follow, even though he often stumbled. When Jesus entered Peter's life, this plain, simple fisherman became a new person, with new goals and new priorities. He didn't become a perfect person, however, and he never stopped being Simon Peter. We may wonder what Jesus saw in Simon. So what did he see in him that made him greet this potential disciple with a new name? Peter, the rock. Impulsive. Peter certainly didn't act like a rock. But when Jesus chose his followers, he wasn't looking for models. He was looking for real people. He chose people who could be changed by his love. And then he sent them out to show that love and pardon was available to everyone, even those who fail. We may wonder what Jesus sees in us when he calls us to follow him. But we know that Jesus accepted Peter in spite of his failures. Peter went on to do great things for God. Are we willing to keep following Jesus even when we fail? Enthusiasm has to be backed up by faith and understanding, or it fails. It's better to be a follower who sometimes fails than one who fails to follow. So, let's look at Peter's story. When you hit rock bottom, what's next? Hi, my name's Simon, but Jesus gave me a new name. He called me Peter. He said he would build his church on me. Now, I'm not sure what that means, but it sounds painful. But also important. I guess I was special. I first met Jesus when I was out fishing. We'd had a slow day and didn't have many fish to show for our hard work. Then this guy shouts out from the shore and gets in the boat. He starts teaching the people. Well, I had a front row seat. This Jesus was amazing. He spoke about God and heaven. He taught with such authority. When he'd finished, he asked us to put out into deeper water and let our nets down. Well, I don't mind telling you, I've been a fisherman all my life, and this guy didn't have a clue. We'd been out all night and nothing. But we put our nets down anyway. You wouldn't believe the number of fish we caught. There were so many, we needed help. It nearly sank the boat. I said to him, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." This guy was incredible. And he said, "Follow me." And he would make me a fisher of men. Didn't really understand that either. What did he mean? But wow, this Jesus was special. So we left everything and followed him. The next 3 years were a blur of teaching, miracles and healing. He even got us doing some of them ourselves. There was no doubt in my mind this was the Son of God, the Messiah that we'd all been waiting for. But some didn't see it. In fact, the Jewish leaders didn't like what he was saying. He challenged them, and they didn't like that. I remember the last time I ate supper with him. We were having a heated discussion about who was the greatest and who would sit at his right hand. I told him I was ready to go to prison and even die with him. Do you know what he said? Before the cock crows, I will deny him 3 times. I was so upset. But now, when I look back, I'm ashamed. He was right. I did deny him. Denied knowing him at all. After the crucifixion, we were so downcast, so scared. I was convinced that Jesus was going to restore the kingdom and we would be great again. I believed he was the Son of God, but now he's dead. The story didn't end there. 3 days later, Mary said she'd seen him. And then later, he came and met with us. He sent us back to the lake to wait for him. So we went back, and I went fishing. It helps me think and get my head straight. We'd seen Jesus before, but when he appeared by the lake, I didn't recognize him. That is until he told us to put out our nets on the other side, and we caught so many fish. Then I knew. I was so excited, I jumped into the water and swam to meet him. When I got to the shore, he'd already started to cook some fish on a fire. This was the 3rd time we had seen him. After we had eaten, Jesus asked me, "Do you truly love me more than these?" And he used my full name. He called me Simon, son of John. "Lord, you know I do." He asked me another 2 times, and then it hit me. I'd said I didn't know him 3 times. I had denied him even though I did know him. Not my finest hour. Here's the good news. He forgave me. Yeah, that's right. He forgave me when I definitely didn't deserve it. And he gave me a job. What, I wonder, is your story when you hit rock bottom? I can't come back from this. Do you go back to what you know when things were difficult? For Peter, that was fishing. When our sins are exposed, like Peter's denial, and you're shown to be a sinner, where do you go? And what do you do? For Peter, it looked like this. From failure to preacher. From preacher to leader. That's not a formula for everyone, but it shows Jesus' heart for us. How can he restore us and bring us back to himself? This was not just the resurrection, but the restoration. Jesus knows Peter, and he knows you, highs and lows. I wonder what he would say to us now. None of this is random. It all relates to the original call in Luke. There are many parallels with the original calling. The calling of the disciples was not by accident. This is the restoration from the original call to the denial and back to faith again. This is very much the pattern we can find ourselves in. Needing to be restored and brought back to Christ. All it needs is a willingness on our behalf. Jesus is waiting to restore you if you would only ask. And I've put that up there in red and bold, and I'm going to say it again. If you go away from this service with nothing else, please go away with this. Jesus is waiting to restore you if you would only ask. When we look into chapter 21, there are so many questions. Why did they swap sides with the net? Sometimes other people can see what we can't. They have a different angle or perspective on things. We need to learn to listen to our closest friends and family. They can often see things we just don't. Why did Jesus address Peter as Simon, son of John? This was his name. The name that Jesus had changed. He changed it when he first met him, when he commissioned him. Now he addresses him again as Simon, son of John, and not Peter. I would be Simon, son of David, my dad. It's my birth name. I don't know about you, but I only get called by my birth name, my full name, when I'm in trouble. To my family, I'm Si. To my friends, I'm Simon. And it's the same for my wife. Lynn becomes Lynn Julie Biddlecombe when she's in trouble, which is obviously never. Here we see Peter being called by his full name, his original name before Jesus changed it. So, who are you and what is your name? Once he's restored, he's back to being called Peter, the rock the church will be built on. The great thing about this is we should be comforted because Jesus knows us. We shouldn't be worried about what we've done or who we are. Jesus wants to restore you today. How did they think about water, fish, and fishing? Fish are mentioned throughout the Gospels and can be considered the Christian community or salvation. The Greek word being ichthys, the letters standing for Jesus Christ, Son of God, Saviour. Fish are used in the feeding of the 5,000 from a simple child's lunchbox. Matthew 14 tells how Peter gets out of the boat and starts walking towards Jesus on the water. It's by faith that he's able to walk. Water is obviously part of baptism, symbolising the cleaning and forgiveness. And in a few weeks' time, we too will have a baptism right about where I'm standing. I wonder if you've considered that. I wonder if you're being called to be baptised. So, What are the highs and lows? Jesus knows them. He's waiting for you to come to him and ask for forgiveness and to follow him. There is nothing that can't be forgiven if we truly repent. And that's great news. Just like the shredder, it's gone, cut into a million pieces, never to be seen again. But don't keep looking back. You have been restored. Why did Jesus ask for fish when he already had some and was cooking them? It had been a long night fishing and they were tired. But Jesus was aware and provided. He already had fish cooking on the fire so that they could come, sit and eat. I wonder if you ever feel like that. Tired. You just want to curl up and sleep or sit with a good book. Jesus is waiting for you to turn up. It's all you need to do. Just turn up and follow him. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 reminds us, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He provides for us as he did with Peter. Okay. What about the elephant in the room at breakfast? The restoration was public and full. Peter's sin in front of all. So his restoration was also in front of everyone. I wonder what the other disciples thought of Peter after his statement at the Last Supper. "If they all sin, I will always follow you." What would you have thought? We all get it wrong. Why did Jesus ask Peter, "Do you love me?" Did he mean, "Do you love me more than fishing? Or do you love me more than your job?" Did he mean, "More than these other people, the people around you in your lives? Do you love them more than Jesus?" Or did he mean, "Do you love me more than anyone else in the room?" Peter replies each time with, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." No more is Peter saying, "I'm better than anyone else. I should be sat at your right hand." Or anything else is more important. Is this how we think, or do we prioritize other things? The key is the number of times he's restored. There are different words for love, and today I don't want to focus on those. I want to focus on the restoration. There was a job given after each restoration. Jesus didn't say, "Oh, good, that's nice." Peter is given responsibility for the church family, to feed and care for them. What job is God calling you to do today? And are you listening? You'll be pleased to know my final question today. Is God done with you? It can feel like this when you hit rock bottom. all of our stories are different. And all of our callings are different. We need to listen to what Christ is calling us to do and then stand up for him. Jesus sees you and knows you. He's waiting to restore you if you need it. The mind-blowing thing is that Jesus knows who you were, who you are, and who you will be. He still wants to use you. And a final thought to leave you with this morning. What did Peter hear every morning? The cock crowing as day breaks. It's an annoying sound if you want to try and lay in, isn't it? That must have been even worse for Peter. Every morning, a stark reminder of what he did. But it's also a reminder of what Jesus has forgiven Peter for. He must have heard that cock crowing and been so grateful. He had been forgiven and restored. So, when that alarm clock goes off tomorrow morning, no, possibly not 12:15. That would be a little early or a little late. But when that clock goes off in the morning, maybe we should stop and think. Maybe we should stop and think that we have been forgiven and be grateful. Let us pray. Lord God, where do we even begin? The world seems in such turmoil, country against country, man against fellow man. How have we gone so far off course, Lord? Bring us back. Lord, we bring the wars and the fighting around the world to you, the world you created. It must grieve you when you look at what your creation has done to the world you made. We pray, Lord, for peaceful resolutions to the disputes in India and Pakistan, between Russia and the Ukraine, in Gaza and in the Gaza Strip. We pray for all those displaced and homeless because others are fighting. But Lord, we also look back and give thanks for the end of the wars in the past, for VE Day, Lord, and the peace that followed. We bring to you all who have lost their lives in wars and all who have been left behind grieving. Lord, we bring to you the economic issues around the world and closer to home for those without and in need. Lord, we ask, what can we do? How can we help your people? Moving closer to home, Lord, we think about our country. We pray for its leadership, for wisdom and guidance in their decisions. Lord, we pray for Christians working in our government, that they will have courage to speak out for you, that their faith will guide them and they will stand up for you, Lord. For our country, Lord, we give you thanks. We are grateful that we live in a country that means we can come to worship and speak of you without fear or judgment. But we do need to bring to you so many problems with our own country, our own town, Lord. For pollution and the damage we are doing and having done to the world and the environment we live in. For the extremes of wealth and poverty. For greed. For those who find themselves here as refugees, displaced from their own homes. I pray, Lord, that we will find it that in our heart to help these people. Help us, Lord, to be your voice, your caring arms in our local community. We pray especially for our outreach with Warm Welcome Space and for those who give up their time and those who support the work with giving, both financially and with material gifts. Lord, we pray that we will be your voice in Desborough and the surrounding areas, that we will help people of all ages to find and follow you. Father, as we sit here this morning, we ask, how can we help? What can we do? And so we seek your word for us today, Lord. Finally, Lord, we pray for the congregation who are unable to be with us, Lord, for those members of our church who are poorly, who are ill. Lord, you know them, and we know them in our hearts. And so we lift those names to you now, Lord. We pray for the diaconate, Lord, for the leadership. We heard this morning that we need people to stand. We need people to take on roles and jobs within our church. And so I pray that you will lift up leaders amongst us, that you will encourage those who think they can but have yet to commit. And so finally, Lord, we say together the prayer you taught us to say. And I will put it up on the screen for anyone who is not familiar with it. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, power and glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our closing hymn today, The Price is Paid. And I just want to say to you again, the price is paid for you. Jesus is waiting for you to just say yes. And don't forget that alarm clock.